Welcome to the first Paddock Pass podcast note show from the Portuguese Grand Prix. My name is Adam Wheeler. I'm joined by Mr. Neil Morrison and Mr. Peter McLaren, probably the most underrated journalist in MotoGP, and not a podcast slag, as you've just been recently accused of being by Neil. That shows the level of affection between the both of you. So, Pete, thanks for talking to us. It's good to see you. We didn't see you in Qatar, but you are here at Portimão, the Algarve International Circuit, and getting wet like the rest of us.
I am, definitely. Thank you for the intro. Yes, the green room technique that Neil employs is certainly different to get the guests relaxed for the show. But looking forward to be back on it. I was last speaking to Neil at Burryroom. Was it last October? So good to be back on your show.
Yeah, is he the most underrated journo though? Because I saw him getting a lot of love for his epic Sepang test coverage. So yeah.
Yeah, it's been a couple of good stories, actually, Pete. You've been unearthing
lightning occasionally strikes twice, yes.
So. I don't mean to be condescending or patronising, but it's just so good to have you on the podcast before you join everybody else's podcast throughout the Grand Prix weekend.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
There we go. The level of man love between you two is quite impressive, I have to say. Anyway, as we mentioned the weather, let's just talk about it, because the weather forecast is supposed to be good for this Grand Prix weekend. We got 25 degrees forecast for Friday in the first day of practice here in southern Portugal. But today has been something, I would say, quite rotten, Neil. And you have to feel some sympathy for the first runs for the Moto E field.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was pretty rotten day today. Lots of rain, but we are led to believe that the rest of the weekend should be pretty good. Moto E drew the short straw. It had a couple of sessions out today in which they were supposed to test a new tyre for Michelin, I believe, but obviously because it was wet, they didn't get the chance to do that. So that scuppered their plans somewhat. But hopefully that should be the worst of it over now. And we can get some dry running for all 3 days.
Pete, this week on the Paddock Pass podcast, we were talking about the Algarve International Circuit. What's your personal opinion on this place? Because we also asked the riders today. I asked Pecco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin and Brad Binder in the press conference how they sort of rated it. I think one of the most challenging circuits of the season, one of the hardest, they said, up there with maybe the likes of Cotter and Silverstone. Do you like watching racing here? I mean, do you like visiting here?
Yeah, I do, Ad. It's only my second time here. But for me, it's I guess you'd put it a bit like Phillip Island, where you'd love to just ride around here, you know, let alone race, just to look at the track, all the ups and downs, the twists and turns. I think it's a great place to be at, whether you're spectating and to ride. It must be amazing. So, yeah, I think it's and completely different to the tracks we've had so far this year in testing and the race, the big Herman Tilke designed tracks at Sepang and Qatar. So, yeah, a very different challenge. And as you say, with the weather as well, if we weren't sure that it was going to be completely different here, tyres, weather, everything else, they've now got a green track to get on tomorrow morning, haven't they? So we're really going to see who's got the base setup, aren't we? Who's ready to get straight into the season? You've got Q2 in the afternoon, so they're going to have to be up and running by. Completely different to Qatar and what we've seen so far, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That was a thing that a couple of the riders were saying today, that this should offer the first real view of this year. Qatar maybe gives you something of a misnomer because of the individual unique track conditions, and also the fact that we had a two-day test there before we showed up, so everyone was pretty much well dialed in, whereas I don't think that's going to be the case tomorrow morning. So yeah, as Pete says, I think we might get a clearer picture of just how strong each individual manufacturer and certain factories and riders are this year.
Leading on from that, Pete, to put you under pressure a little bit, do you think we'll see a shake-up in the race order potentially? I mean, Pecco Bagnaia, the world champion, won the opening round. He did a double here last year, so there's no reason to expect him to suddenly be fighting in sort of the depths of the top 10. But then there perhaps could be one or two other surprises. Marc Marquez in the press conference saying, you know, he still has to discover the potential of the Ducati.
Yeah, I mean, but Pecco, wasn't it? It took him a long time to get up to speed in Qatar in the race weekend, if you know, and a bit like what we saw last year in some of the races, wasn't it? He'd come really good by the Sunday. Well, if that format continues again here without the test, as you guys have said, maybe he will be playing catch up a bit. The satellite guys, in a way, they should have had more setup testing, I guess, not having done the parts testing during the pre-season. So they should be somewhere closer with the setup, but I think there's bound to be surprises in there. There's no way that we can have so many changes as we've said here and just have everything as it was in Qatar. So the question is, who's going to be, yeah, what's the shakeup going to be? At the moment, as you know, it's like any pre-event thing, isn't it? Everyone's optimistic, aren't they, at the moment? Van Maverick van Aert is saying the Aprilia with all the downforce should be good here, and of course he was good here last year. Everyone can find something, can't they, positive to look at from the past, but you know, some dreams will be shattered tomorrow, I think.
We're here in the media center, and we've been working through the media debriefs that we've listened to today, and base setting seems to be one of the catchphrases. And you would imagine it's common sense, really, that some riders, some teams are still looking for, you know, an optimum setup. I mean, you can't just go off a test where everyone's blowing away the cobwebs in Sepang, go to Qatar, straight into the Qatar Grand Prix, and then assume that's it for the year. I think we'll see some new aero stuff in the pit lane tomorrow, a few other tweaks. People are still very much submerged in sort of the development process and getting ready for 2024. I don't know, if we had to pick one rider that could really be a surprise just from on what has been said today. I mean, comparatively, I mean, also the likes of HRC and KTM, they've been busy this week testing in Jerez. There could be, I mean, Luca Marini was at the back of the field, so there's no, he can't get any worse. I mean, if he finishes top 15 and takes points, then that's already, a sliding scale progress.
Yeah, and he was saying that he had a Marc Marquez 2020-esque crash, I think, at Jerez test. I think he was saying this in Spanish. He didn't say it in his English debrief, but he said he had a enormous high side. He said he was okay, but it was a big one. So for a man whose confidence was already on the floor after Qatar, I can't imagine a situation like that would have really improved it. So I wouldn't put him down as my surprise, if I'm being honest. I think there's a couple of guys that could jump up there. We didn't quite see the best of Aprilia, I feel, in Qatar for different reasons, we didn't quite see the best of Fabio De Giannantonio either. I think perhaps he could do something quite interesting, and quite interested to see what the two Marquez brothers do, to be honest. Alex has always had a good record at this track, really went well here. I think it was back in his second last year with Honda. He had, I think, his best race of the season here. And Mark, of course, we're all very interested to see, just, you know, at a track that he didn't like in Qatar, was less than a second, I think, off the podium. Can he be closer this time?
Pete, let's talk a little bit about the man who's won two Grand Prix here since MotoGP first arrived, Fabio Quartararo. He was talking today just about, his debrief was pretty interesting, because not only did he mention the contract situation, he has his assistant basically looking after deals and negotiations for next year, and he is talking to other brands, so he at least admitted that. But, I asked him a silly question and said, how would you go on your 21 M1 here? Because, you know, pointing out that Franco Morbidelli did take a podium finish on a two-year-old bike, and you know, he had such a great feeling with the front end of the Yamaha. I mean, he said just because of the gains and the progress made by other manufacturers, then, you know, the bike would be pointless. It would be, you know, completely non-competitive. But Quartararo says, you know, if the motorcycle I'm riding now, which he says is the best Yamaha he's ridden yet, I think, is 0.7 better than 21, then everybody else is well over a second faster. And that's just it, you know, where Yamaha are making improvements, they're just still kind of a step behind everyone else.
That's it, isn't it? That escalator of everybody improving. They've got to run up it, haven't they? Everyone else is already getting quicker and quicker. And we saw big improvements, didn't we, in the race times in Qatar. So, but it was an interesting question that you gave to him, Adam. It reminded me, I was doing some team profiles for Crash last week, and one of them was on Yamaha, and I dug up an interview with Masao Furusawa, and he went over when Rossi had arrived. It was just before he retired, so he was reflecting sort of 5 years back. But he was saying how one of the key things that you always credited Rossi for, the genius, if you like, from his engineering side, was that he picked a slower bike or a slower engine combination at that time, the Big Bang cross-plane crankshaft, and I think the four valves per cylinder. He gave him a load of different combinations to test, and Rossi picked the one he hoped for, but it wasn't the quickest at the time. It was slower in top speed, but Rossi could see the potential of it, and it had that what became quite famous, the Yamaha handling in the corners. And that's what they're missing now, isn't it? And it's easy to, I guess, look at top speed charts and everything else, but and Cal said this to us, hasn't he, as well, that it's not just the top speed, it's how you get there, and it's the how smooth the engine is. And you do start to think, well, look, you know, they've got the power now, haven't they? And it's not getting them to where they want to be at the front. They're going to have to start trying to get back to, as you say, the 21 handling and the strengths that they had before.
Yeah, and Alex Rins admitting to us as well that he'll be doing a private test on Monday. Did he say it was going to be here, or was it another?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Yamaha will be staying on a day extra after this Grand Prix.
Yeah.
That's the only way, isn't it, Neil? That's the only way they're really going to make up that gap, is to make laps. To listen to the rest of the Paddock Pass podcast, Paddock Notes show, then join us on Patreon and become a Paddock Insider.